Have you been searching for a rewarding career as labor, skilled labor, or lead man supervisor? Premier Structures may have the career you've been looking for. Premier Structures offers three stages of profit sharing, 70% of health insurance covered for individuals, and plenty of room for growth. Premier Structures is located in Athens, Alabama, and serves all of North Alabama, and is licensed in Alabama and Tennessee. To find your career with Premier Structures, go to premierstructures.com or give them a call at 256-232-2092.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
With locations in Tuscumbia, Florence, Muscle Shoals, Russellville, Killen, Madison, and Athens, Singing River Dentistry provides the most advanced dental care, including same-day crowns and implants, in a compassionate and friendly atmosphere. They excel in educating their patients and themselves about the benefits of keeping a healthy smile for a lifetime. The care of their patients is the center of their practice. They value their patients' time, trust, and total health. For more information about their practice or to request an appointment, go to SingingRiverDentistry.com.
Need the perfect fit? Whether it's hemming pants, altering a wedding gown, or giving your favorite outfit a brand new look, Coronation Tailoring and Alterations has you covered. We're your local experts in custom tailoring right here on Highway 72 next to 306 Barbecue in Athens, Alabama. Stop by today or call 256-444-0077 to schedule your fitting. That's Coronation Tailoring and Alterations, where your style is always in good hands.
For all your
strawberry
needs, I suggest J. Calvert Farm. Located 3 miles south of Dodge City on Highway 69, exit 299 off Interstate 65. J. Calvert Farm currently has
strawberries.
Give them a call at 256-636-2752. That's J. Calvert Farm in Dodge City, Alabama.
J. Calvert Farm, strawberry. Let's go, Daddy.
Hey, everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
This is Nico Johnson from Andalusia, Alabama. Be where your feet are. You listen to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hey, y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you can make a huge difference. Somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show, and one smile can make a difference.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark Wyatt Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. My daddy is your host, Mark Wyatt.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark Wyatt Show. I am glad that you can be with us today as I have the honor and privilege to have Mr. John Marsh on the line. John is a retired U.S. Army warrant officer, aviator, husband, and father, and he's also the author of a book called Communicating Without the Chaos. It's a project that was born out of real-life experiences, internal battles, and a desire to help others find a way to express what they're going through. Now, a lot of people are carrying things they don't know how to talk about. I've been one of those people myself. They've lived through difficult moments, but when it comes time to put those feelings into words, it just doesn't come out right. John has taken his own journey and created a tool to help people do exactly that. And what we're going to talk about today is that journey, the challenges behind it, and how his work might help someone listening today. Welcome to The Mark Wyatt Show, John Marsh.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate the opportunity. Again, this is a wonderful opportunity to talk to you and to hopefully spread the word of what I'm able to hopefully kind of help other people through with their challenges.
Glad to do it, John. And if you would take our listeners back a little bit, before the book, before the writing, what did life look like for you during your time in the Army?
Well, but my time in the Army was, it started out rather I was very fortunate where it did start out. It was started out about 2000 prior to 9/11 happening. But what led me to go to the Army was just pure chaos as well. A lot of people may find themselves needing to find a place to belong, a place to be. And for me, the Army was that at such a young age. As I started coming up into the rank and I met my wife and had my family, and again, this is when the war first started happening over in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it became very chaotic, it seemed like, more and more. We found ourselves pushing ourselves to certain missions that were becoming more difficult to achieve because the number of personnel were starting to dwindle as well. So that became a challenge. But what really became a challenge was the back-to-back deployments, the multiple field rotations. And this entire time, I'm putting myself on the back burner, my family on the back burner. And all of the soldiers, my brothers and sisters in arms that I served with, they were doing the same thing. And we would just kept pushing and kept pushing. And then we started seeing some major challenges within the mental health really start climb. And it wasn't just only in us. It was our entire surrounding. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people, a lot of my dear friends, a lot of coworkers who could not handle it. They couldn't take it. And it became very difficult for their families, for them, and some worst cases to the most extreme. So it ended up just being to the point where it was very difficult to put everything on your shoulders. And the overall mindset was that's what we had to do. That was our job. Our job at home, our job at work was just wait, keep everything on your shoulders, carry the weight. And eventually I was lucky enough to get to the point where I realized that maybe that weight was going to be more detrimental to me and my family if I kept doing it the way I was. So I had to think outside the box. I had to find another way.
And John, you mentioned in your story that for a long time there was anger, cynicism, and a very narrow focus. What was going on internally during those years that people on the outside might not have seen?
Well, honestly, where that one was born from was really just, unfortunately, the culture that I grew up in. We all grow up in different cultures within the country and different mindsets, different ideologies. And when this war first started, the ideology and mindset that was driven behind a lot of the family or a lot of the people that I grew up in my small community really only was very tunnel visioned on certain things. And it wasn't until I began these different trips overseas where I began seeing things from a different perspective. And I flew medevac missions for a few years. And that's really what opened my eyes too. And it was a very big confliction within my own moral code, my own moral compass, versus what people back home were still feeling, which is very cynical. And I couldn't open their eyes. I couldn't let them to see that, yes, we are at war. Yes, there are times when good people must do things that they did not want to do. But on the other side of that war, we had other people. And just because they didn't see the same things we did, or they were raised differently, and they were raised that from birth that they were the worst of that the Americans are the worst of the worst. And we started realizing that for me it was an internal conflict. And I know that, you know, war is war, and there is something that has to happen in some cases. But that was for me. I became getting very angry with how cynical a lot of people were in terms of trying to understand what we were going through and our challenges that we were going through. And some of these people may have college degrees and may have all of these pieces of paper that gives them a long laundry list of vocabulary they can use. But do they truly understand what we're trying to tell them when we're battling things inside of our minds? We're battling our moral compass and our moral codes. And the sad part is they weren't. And that was very difficult for me because I would go to therapy for so many years to try to figure out what was wrong with me, when in terms there probably wasn't anything wrong with me. I just needed a better guide.
A lot of veterans and first responders even struggle with what they've experienced, but they don't always know how to talk about it. Why do you think communication becomes such a challenge after those kinds of experiences that you've had, John?
Well, yes, sir. And you're absolutely right. First responders 100% get pushed to the side when people think about PTSD or stress or communication gaps. And that should not be the case. It's a stigma that we're trying to get away from, right? It's a stigma of being able to talk about it. But communication is so important because it's more than words when it comes to communication. In order for someone to understand what we're going through, we have to be able to communicate with that person more than just words. We have to use empathy. They have to use empathy. They also have to look and say, okay, if I was placed in their shoes, do I have a right to even say what I think is wrong with them? And you can see it when you're on the same team as someone that's going through all of what you've been through. And when you're sitting there in the middle of the night in a tent full of 20 other people, or you're on a mission and in your mind it crosses that, you know, I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one having these problems. Look to your left and right, and they're going through the same thing. And then you come to find out that you hopefully end up getting a very close-knit group that you would never think you would get along with some of these people, but you do, because you share such a bond, because you can communicate things with a couple words and you can understand what that person is going through, if it's a traumatic event or an emotional event. But those couple words would not carry the same weight at all for someone who doesn't understand. And I get it. I mean, there's so many people out there trying to help first responders and veterans, but I truly feel like if they don't know what it's like, or they don't have that empathy, or they haven't been in that situation, it's going to be very difficult to communicate. We have to be able to communicate. Because if we don't communicate, then we can't get down to the root cause and try to help that person. So to me, I think that's the most important aspect. So my goal is to try to build that bridge of communication.
John, there's a line in your message about losing your purpose and realizing later that what you thought was your purpose really wasn't. That's something a lot of people can relate to. What did that season look like for you?
Well, for me, it really did start. It did start at a younger age. It really did. I just didn't realize until I was older, and more mature. But I truly believe we are put here for a purpose, but it's not up to anyone else but us to figure out what that purpose is. We were placed on this earth for a reason. For me, my purpose, I thought, was certain things. I thought my purpose when I got out of my hometown, and the way I got out was not very, I'm not going to say I'm very proud of it, but I was on a track to be successful. I was very good in school. My family didn't have the money to do anything. However, I went to basic training my junior year. I came back my junior year and I was told I couldn't play football. And so I quit high school because of it. And I did that because why else was I going to go to school? What it ended up being was I wasn't part of a team. I didn't have anything to really be a part of when I was growing up. So my family was my teams that I was on. When that went away, I did make the very bad decision to quit high school. And then I started realizing I was going down a very wrong path. And so then I had to get out. So when 9/11 happened, that's when I decided I was going to go active duty and I was going to get out. To me, that was being part of a team again. For the first 6 years of my career was the best I could ever ask for. I was attached to certain units that were very well known, very renowned. They had wonderful leadership. They really did. And I was part of something. I changed my career, became aviation about 8 years into it. And that was something that I never thought I'd ever be able to do. But again, I was part of a team. I had a purpose. Throughout the last decade, though, I did come across a lot of challenges within my career. And what I thought was my purpose, I hit a lot of roadblocks. And it wasn't personal challenges. it was challenges where I didn't agree with certain type of commands. We did have very difficult times within our rotations. We saw divorce rates go up. We saw suicides increase. And then I started realizing as I started gaining rank, I wouldn't be in a command of position, but I could be in a command of influence. So then I started managing about 300 or so soldiers. And I started really wanting to get to know them because I needed a purpose as much as they did. So we became that close-knit type family, if you would. And it felt great. But then medical issues started happening. And towards the end of my career, it looked more and more like I wasn't going to be able to continue to fly. And my whole future was revolved around that. My whole future after I retired was to continue flying, continue to doing what I loved, because I really did love it. And the job that I did do flying, I loved even more. But again, this is just one side of me. My other side is my family, which I always loved and I still do. And being able to be a father is the greatest joy in my life. But this was a man's purpose and what I needed. When I found out I couldn't fly anymore, I pretty much thought that was going to be it. I knew that my purpose shifted, that everything began collapsing around me. But I kept my faith. I kept in what I knew was going to need to happen, and I had to find a way to provide for my family. I went to tons of interviews prior to retirement. And because I didn't have a college degree within the field I was trying to go for, it was impossible. But some people would say answered prayers. Some people would say it was based off of my performance. Some people will say many different things. I have my own belief. I got a phone call offering me to apply for positions in the flight school community, and which I did. And then I was hired on to be an instructor for the same students in the same job that I did for the last 12 years. And it brought everything together. I realized that that's my purpose. My purpose is not to be flying the aircraft. My purpose is to lead and to mentor and to hopefully make influence where I can, make a good influence where I can. Because the future of our country revolves around the youth. The future of our country revolves around the young men and women that are now serving. That's what I truly feel like my purpose is. But again, it's always ever shifting. It really is. The best thing that we can do is we can just continue to try to march down the path that's laid in front of us. And if it gets a little rocky, move over the rocks. But if we need to, we may have to go to a fork in the road and try a different route, but continue on that azimuth. Continue somewhere on that azimuth and just never stop.
Right now, folks, we're talking to John Marsh. He's a retired U.S. Army warrant officer, aviator, husband, and father, and he's also the author of a book called Communicating Without the Chaos. And this project was born out of real-life experiences, internal battles that John had, and a desire to help others find a way to express what they're going through. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with John, and we're going to share more about his book, how you can get the book, and then make this message a part of you finding your purpose. John, will you stick with me?
Yes, sir, I will. Thank you.
All right, folks, I hope you'll stick with us, too. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Since 1943, Athens Bible School has endeavored to provide quality education in a Christian environment and to equip young people with the tools to be successful. ABS is accredited by Cognia and a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. with the Bible at the foundation, with all of our curriculum from pre-K to 12, ABS has something unique to offer. Find out more information at athensbible.com.
With 6 convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their 6 convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes. Hydration Lounge, located in Athens, Alabama, now offers medical weight loss consultations. We discuss nutrition, diet, and lifestyle, as well as prescription medication. Visit us at hydrationl.com for more information.
Hi, this is Don McClain. You're listening to The Mark White Show. Find a way to make a difference by listening to this show. I hope you'll tune in. Perhaps they'll listen.
Welcome back to The Mark White Show. It's my privilege right now to have John Marsh on the line with me, author of Communicating Without the Chaos. And we've been talking about John's journey, his time in the military, the internal battles that led him to create a tool to help others express what they're going through. I want to shift into how this book actually helps people and what that looks like in a practical sense. Welcome back to the show, John.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so let's talk about the title for just a minute. Communicating Without the Chaos. What does that mean to you personally?
You know, whenever we were coming up, when I was coming up with the title for this, it was essentially, it came pretty quick. And what it is in all of our minds, if we don't have a clear vision of how we want to handle a situation, and maybe they get too convoluted in our minds, it's chaotic, completely chaotic. And for, I know for the military community and some of the first responders that I talked to, it's very difficult to make those conversations to where the communication comes across easily. So Communicating Without the Chaos, that title was born because it's a way, my goal is to help people find a way to communicate what they need to without it having so much other interference come in with it. So it can be clear and concise, and hopefully therapists, hopefully family members can actually see what that person is trying to get off of their chest or try to explain what they're going through.
John, one of the unique things about your book is that it uses short stories and prompts to help people reflect. Why did you choose that particular format instead of just telling your story straight through?
You know, so the journal style format, it actually came from my publisher whenever we were sitting down looking at my stories. And there was kind of a different way. I didn't know how to put them all together. What I showed her to my original concept, she really loved the concept. And she asked me, she goes, what do you want this book to do? I said, well, I want it to help people, because these stories, you can't read the story. You don't read the stories and go, oh, this is him just complaining about everything that he dealt with growing up or in the military. There's actually nothing really combat related in these stories. It's just more reflective. But then she said, how can we find a way to make it more of like a tool and I said, well, what about prompts? She was like, would it work? And I said, I don't know. I think it can. So she basically just said, so you want to make this a journal instead of a narrative? And I said, I do, but I don't want it to sound like, I don't want it to be like an assignment. people that are going through things or wanting to read something and just have a little fun with it, they don't want it to be like a homework assignment. So the challenge was recognizing not everyone wants to talk about how they feel. Some can't find the words. So that gave me the idea to say, okay, if some can't find the words, let me try to come up with some prompts to help them find words, but not so much to the point where it guides them to an answer that I want them to say. Some speak the same emotional language, but others don't. So the prompts became that bridge to kind of help people. But after the prompts, there is also blank lines where people can just write down their own. They can write down their own sentences on what the question is about. So the idea is they read the short story, has nothing to do with a combat situation or anything like that, but it does open up their minds from a different perspective because the prompts are kind of specific when it comes to, for example, there's one in there that talks about how, have you ever felt like you could not communicate with someone because of something you dealt with that they haven't? But the story really doesn't follow that. It just has that essence to it. So then it allows somebody to be like, oh, you know what? At this time, I did do this because I didn't want their stories to trigger anything to where they wouldn't be able to fill out their own or even think about the prompts.
And you talk about people telling their story without telling their story. That's an interesting and powerful idea. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Sure. So the one example is essentially there's this one story in there that has four warriors that's going through certain changes. And then the whole time the earth itself is under attack. So we can take that with many different ways. It's under attack. It's a very, very simple story. And then as they're going through it, then they can see kind of relations. They can see how some of the characters might relate to them. And then at the very end of the story, it talks about how each character finds a certain thing. Like one character finds solace and finds solitude and finds the ability to leave everything behind and just make the world quiet when he goes on diving expeditions. So then it'll turn to be like, what do you do as a person whenever you have found yourself overwhelmed with something? What is your go-to? And it gives them the ability to fill that out and to write down things. The idea is they can write down all five prompts and kind of write their own words, what they feel like the story means to them or what the prompts lead to them. And then believe it or not, this book very heavily relies on a tool using AI, and everyone's scared of AI so much. And I'll be honest, I have my limitations with AI, but using it as a tool to try to understand what it could be used for, they can actually put those prompts into an AI platform and they can say, take these prompts and write me a one-page short story and make me the hero of the story. And it will spit out, and it could spit out this small, short little story that talks about a fantasy land. And then their prompts get turned into something that makes them the hero. And it'll be like, hey, how do you want to defeat this problem? And you say, I want to defeat it with whatever, a magical sword or a staff, or if you're a Harry Potter fan, or if you're a whatever fan. And it'll spit that out. And then now you have this fictional story based off of true things that you wrote down as the reader. And it's actually telling your story without telling your story. Does that make sense?
It does. And there are people probably listening right now who are struggling internally, and they may even feel isolated or unsure how to move forward. And I wanted to ask you, what's one simple step that you can think of that they could take today to begin working through that?
For me, I think the simple step would be first, ground yourself. The very first thing anyone has to do in that is just breathe. Just breathe, go into a quiet area, and just look around and understand that you are real. That's the key. You are here. You are living. You are alive. You are real. There is nothing outside that can affect anyone. There's nothing outside that can affect you. We're going to have so many things attack our subconscious, our brain, our mental ability, and in some cases, attack our physical ability. But if we just sit back and breathe and understand and know that no matter what gets thrown at us, we are still here. Because the overall goal of this, the overall goal of anything that we try to do, is just to take back control of what is ours. And we are real. And that's what we need to take control of. There's no outside source that can come in any shape or form change that aspect. We own ourselves. We own our life. We own our world. We own our own universe. We just have to find our place in it. And if we can't find our place in it, we just have to take a step back, feel that we're real, and look for that place. But I would also just say that those people that may be struggling, reach out to someone that may know what you're going through. Reach out to someone who might know what you're going through. And then just sit down together and say, this is what I'm feeling. They don't even have to respond to you, but just that interaction right there will prove to you that you are real and that you are okay. But the bottom line is none of us do this alone. We should never do this alone.
John, where can people find your book, Communicating Without the Chaos, and how can they connect with you if they want to learn more?
Well, the book is out for... First day of release for digital format is today, 7 April. The paperback is available, and that's going to be on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million. You can find it by searching John, J-O-N, Marsh, or you can find it by the title, Communicating Without the Chaos. It's connecting with me, I can be found on Facebook under John Marsh, down in Enterprise, Alabama. And if I could, I'd like to go ahead and provide a website to our coalition down here in the Wiregrass. And if anyone ever feels like they need a little bit of extra like information or they just need resources, this coalition is an amazing, it's an amazing asset that we have down here. You actually had Jason Smith on not too long ago about the coalition, the Wiregrass Military Veteran First Responder Coalition. And we're not made up of people who are going to try to say that we can, you know, come and help you, like when it comes to like medication or anything like that. We're a group of people that are, we're just very adamant and passionate about if someone reaches out to us, we will be like, we are going to find someone that can help you. We are going to provide you resources so that you know this is a Rolodex. It is a Rolodex to a one-stop shop is our goal. And if anybody needed to get a hold of me specifically, they could easily do that through the website as well.
Excellent. John Marsh, I want to thank you for joining me here on the Mark White Show today and for being willing to share your story and the heart behind it. As I said earlier, I know there are a lot of people out there who are dealing with things that they don't know how to talk about it. Sometimes it's not because they don't want to. It's because they don't know how to. And I'm hoping this conversation will connect those dots for people. And I encourage them to take that first step, whether that's talking to someone they trust, writing things down, or finding a resource that helps them process what they're feeling. Thank you again, John, for joining me on the Mark White Show today.
For everyone listening, I will say this. Everyone's story is worth telling. Everyone's. So again, thank you, sir, very, very much for the opportunity today. And I really look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Folks, here on the Mark White Show, we are recognizing difference makers and sharing their stories to encourage and inspire. And I hope you are encouraged and inspired by today's show and that you'll share it with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Let them know about the Mark White Show and what we're doing to make an impact in our communities around the country and the world. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Hello?
Hey, Dad. I've got a quick question. Have you got a sec?
Sure, son. Just throwing the ball for Rufus. What's up?
So, I found a couple shingles in our yard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure we need a new roof, but I'm not sure who to call.
Well, your mother and I have always used Thompson Roofing, 256 Roofing.
ChatGPT told me to look for someone local,
mm-hmm.
licensed, insured, and has recognized expertise.
Well, 256 Roofing.
Of course I'm going to need someone I can, you know, trust.
Right. 256 Roofing.
Okay, I'm on Thompson Roofing's website, 256roofing.com, but I think I'll just call. What's their number?
Son, 256 Roofing.
Roofing. You know, I feel like I've heard that before. Thanks, Dad.
You don't just want a roof. You want your home protected by people who respect it. Thompson Roofing and Construction is local, proven, and offer the strongest warranties in Alabama. They provide confidence from the top down.
What's that number again?
256 Roofing.
When you need it, Greens has it. At Greens Dependable Hardware in Russellville, Alabama, we've been helping our neighbors get the job done for over 75 years. From tools and paint to plumbing and lawn care, we've got the brands you trust and the service you deserve. Our knowledgeable staff is always ready to help you find exactly what you need and with a smile. Stop by Greens Dependable Hardware on Highway 43 in Russellville or call 256-331-0123. Greens Dependable Hardware, the name says it all.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
Since 1943, Athens Bible School has endeavored to provide quality education in a Christian environment and to equip young people with the tools to be successful. ABS is accredited by Cognia and a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. With the Bible at the foundation, with all of our curriculum from pre-K to 12, ABS has something unique to offer. Find out more information at athensbible.com.
Demo the kitchen. Go tour the Dream College. We can help you get to those moments that matter. Contact Brad Wallace, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, on Hughes Road in Madison, Alabama. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Where they go passing by, who live and love in my hometown. Ah, these are my kind of people.